Taking our Bibles with us, we're turning to 1 Peter, as I've said, 1 Peter chapter 1. We're continuing our series on the Lamb of God. And we're commencing our reading at verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 to verse 25. We're reading down to the end of the chapter. Commencing a reading at verse 13, let us hear God's word. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Amen. We'll end the reading there at verse 25, knowing that the Lord will bless the public reading of his word, as he said he will do so. Opening our Bibles to the passage that we read there earlier from 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We'd like to thank Monique and our sister Joy for both playing for us today. And we certainly don't take these things for granted. We thank both our sisters for playing for us. Turning to that passage that we read earlier from 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And with God's word open before us at 1 Peter chapter 1, let us again briefly bow before the Lord, asking for his help, stilling our hearts before him in his presence, bowing reverently with godly fear, asking for him to speak to us as we consider his word, his truth, the words of his mouth. Lord, our heavenly Father, in the quietness of this place, we thank thee for thy presence, for the help already in the service, in the singing and praise of thy name. And we cry unto thee for that continued presence, for thee to even intensify thy presence. Lord, that thou wilt come, that thou wilt help us to behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, we confess we are nothings and nobodies. We're unprofitable servants at best. And we ask of thee for that divine intervention. Empty me now of self and of sin. Cleanse me afresh in thy precious blood. Fill me full of the Holy Ghost and with power. Bless the preaching and the hearing of divine truth. Shut us in with thyself. Help us now as we continue to wait on before thee. For it's in Christ's precious name, that name above all names, for it's in his name we ask it, and for thy glory alone. Amen. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 to 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was prophesied of as a redeemer under the Old Testament. And the Jews, well, they frequently ascribe redemption to the word of the Lord God. And here the apostle, here he attributes redemption to the blood of Christ, whose blood is the same with ours, only not tainted with sin. The blood of an innocent person, one who is both God and man, and was freely shed in the room and stead of his people. And so it is a sufficient price for their redemption, and it may truly be said, as found in our text, precious. It may truly be said to be precious, as it is to God, precious, to whom it is a sweet-smelling savour, a sacrifice, as its primary objective was Godward, as we saw when we considered the Lamb of God personified, that its primary objective was Godward, the necessity of his suffering, that the atonement was rendered to God. You see, the primary objective was Godward, and with which he, that is, he is well pleased. Not that he takes a mere delight in the mere outflowing of his blood, but as this is the ransom price and the atonement of his chosen ones, and so it is to all them that believe. Since by it they are justified, declared righteous, just as if they never sinned. Through it they have the forgiveness of their sins. Their peace and reconciliation with God is made by it. Their peace and reconciliation, yes, with God is made by it. And by it they are sanctified, set apart, and have boldness to enter into the holiest of all. And this blood of Christ, the blood of God, the blood of Christ, by which they are redeemed out of the slavery and the guilt of sin, he being the true Passover sacrificed for us, and which, as also the lambs of the daily sacrifice, and all others were to be without blemish and without spot, and in which they prefigured Christ, pointed forward to Christ, who is without stain of original, and the spot and blemish of actual sin, and so was a very fit person to be a sacrifice for sin and a redeemer of his people. And so we come, as a way of a title, the Lamb of God crucified. The Lamb of God crucified. And so standing at the foot of the cross, we see his hands and feet and side. From the crown of his head, which was crowned with thorns, to the soles of his feet, which were nailed to the cross. And so we gaze upon the bloody sacrifice. The bloody sacrifice. And all flowing from Calvary's tide, streams of crimson blood. The Lamb of God for sinners slain. And so we come, firstly, to consider the blood that was shed, his blood, that it is precious blood. Firstly, the precious blood. For as much as ye know, that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The Holy Ghost places emphasis on the blood of Christ, that it is precious, precious blood. Precious blood. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ is the only price of man's redemption. The design of Christ, that is the plan and purpose in shedding his most precious blood, was to redeem us. Was to redeem us, to purchase us back out of the slavery and the guilt of sin. We find this clearly in Acts 20, verse 28, part B of that verse. In Acts 20, verse 28, part B, we read the following: the church of God, the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. The church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. With his own blood. Therefore, it is precious because of its redeeming and atoning efficacy. And that word efficacy simply means power. We often sing the hymn, and rightly so, there's power, power, wonder, working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Because of who Christ is and because of what Christ did. And so we see clearly the value of this precious blood, the value of it. It is of infinite value. It is of infinite value, the precious blood of Christ, because the blood of a divinely appointed victim sent by his Father. For the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And because the Father ordained him, and the blood is well pleasing to the Father. the blood is well-pleasing to the Father. And so there is no estimation to the preciousness of God's own Lamb. There's no estimation to the value of it, because it is of infinite value. It is of infinite value. There's no estimation to the preciousness of God's own Lamb. It's well-pleasing to God. It's well-pleasing to God. And therefore, Christ's atonement, listen, is of infinite value and could have saved all the world. Listen to me carefully. Christ's atonement is of an infinite value and could have saved all the world. In fact, it could have saved infinite worlds had God intended it to do so. But God's intention was to save a people from their sins, a people out of every kindred and tongue, a people and nation, a people given to him by the Father. What do we read in John 6:37? We read this: all that the Father giveth me, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I will in no wise cast out. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And so it is of an infinite value and could have saved all the world had God intended it to do so. But God's intention was to save a people. Save a people from their sins. A people out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. A people given to him by the Father. For all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And so by it, by this precious blood, the sins of Christ's people are atoned for. They are redeemed from the under the law. They are reconciled to God. They are made one with him. They are made one with him, a union that cannot be broken, a union that is inseparable, a union that cannot be broken, a bond that is everlasting, because of the blood, because of the precious blood. The blood, you see, of Christ is precious because of its cleansing power. Because of its cleansing power. It cleanseth from all sin. It cleanseth from all sin, not some sin, but all sin. What does it say in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7? It says, and the blood of Jesus, that is 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Cleanseth us from all sin. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 6. See, the blood of Christ is precious in its cleansing power. It cleanseth from all sin, not some sin, but all sin. And this is why I've showed you 1 John 1:7, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And we read here of sins. We read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, that's sodomites. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But listen to this. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. There were men who were involved in such sins, and yet the Lord saved them. He washed them. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. But we must continue. And therefore, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You see, there may be some sins of which a man cannot speak, but there is no sin which the blood of Jesus Christ cannot wash away. No sin. No sin. Listen, let me repeat it. There may be some sins of which a man cannot speak, but there is no sin. There is no sin which the blood of Jesus Christ cannot wash away. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Therefore, through Jesus' blood, there is no spot left upon any believer, no wrinkle, not anything. Nor any such thing remains. That is, sins of deep dye, and which have such a place in the hearts of men upon the consciences that nothing can remove them but the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ. It is the blood of Christ that makes us clean. It is as spoken in Hebrews 12:24, the blood of sprinkling, listen, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. For by the blood of Christ sprinkled upon our consciences, as the blood of the sacrifice was sprinkled upon the altar and the sacrifice, this blood, his own blood, the blood of Christ, pacifies God and purifies the consciences of men. It speaks to God in behalf of sinners. It pleads not for vengeance, as the blood of Abel did on him who shed it, but for mercy. And so to sinners in the name of God, it speaks pardon to their sins, peace to their souls, and bespeaks their strictest obedience and highest love and thankfulness. Is not this precious? Is not this precious? Is not this precious? For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Is not this precious? It makes us clean, removing the stains of iniquity and permitting us to stand accepted in the Beloved. Notwithstanding the many ways in which we have rebelled against our God. Oh, friend, it is precious. Precious in its preserving power, for the child of God is safe. Safe from the destroying angel under the sprinkled blood. Remember, we looked at it. That second message we looked at, the Lamb of God typified in Exodus, how the people were safe from the destroying angel because they had the blood applied. Because it was applied upon the doorposts and the lintel. Oh, the child of God is safe from the destroying angel under the sprinkled blood because it's God seeing the blood. It's God seeing the blood. Remember what he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And so it is God seeing the blood, which is the true reason for our being spared. And so there is comfort when the eye of faith is dim. When the eye of faith is dim, well, God's eye is still the same because he sees the blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. He sees the blood. And therefore, Christ's blood, the blood of Christ, it is precious, unspeakably precious. There is also the thought that it is pure blood. It is pure blood. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so it is pure blood. The blood is pure. It is incorruptible because you were not redeemed with corruptible things. And then it goes further on to say, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And therefore the blood is pure. It is incorruptible. It is indestructible. You were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so it is not a corrupted thing. It is not a corrupted thing. And so we see clearly its purity. It's pure blood. For the blood is the life thereof, and the life lieth in the blood. For the blood is the life thereof. The blood is the life thereof, and the life lieth in the blood. But you see, in the blood of every mortal man, in the blood of every mortal man runs the stream of sin, because man is stained by sin. Man is tainted by sin. Man is born in sin. From the sole of the foot, even onto the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. The natural man, he's corrupt. His blood's not pure. Man's is tainted by sin, because he's born in sin. From the sole of his foot, even onto the head. But with the precious blood of Christ, there's no tarnish, there's no blemish, there's no spot. You see the whole purpose. In the Lord's appearance, that is the appearance of Christ from the cradle to the cross. The whole purpose, the fulfillment of prophecy and type was the shedding of his blood. Of one who was both God and man. You see, the blood of Christ is sinless. The blood of Christ is sinless because of his sinless humanity. For his humanity was without sin, his blood was without sin. And so the sinlessness speaks of the inward and outward. It speaks both of the inward and the outward purity of Christ. And this is why it is pure blood, as well as its precious blood. For such an high priest became us, took upon a flesh like ours, yet without sin, because he couldn't sin, because he's God manifest in the flesh. Such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Those who were of the order of Aaron, that is the priests, they were not only mortal men but sinful men. They needed to offer up sacrifices first for their own sin and then for the people. But our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, he needed only to offer up once for the people and never at all for himself. It was always on the behalf of his people. Everything he did was on behalf of his people. It wasn't for himself. Because he couldn't sin. He didn't sin. He wouldn't sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, friend, was exactly such a priest as we desired, as we want it. For he has a personal holiness, perfectly free from the habits or principles of sin. He needed not to offer up sacrifices. He needed not to offer up sacrifices for himself. And so the distinguishing character of our high priest is his purity and holiness. Praise God. The blood that saves must be the blood of a real man. The blood that saves must be the blood of a real man. Because if it isn't, then it cannot save men. But praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ became man in order to save men, in order to redeem men. And so the blood that saves must be the blood of a real man, and the Lord Jesus Christ is a true man as a result of the miracle of the virgin birth. And so the blood of Christ is sinless. It is pure. It is precious. For the whole humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ is a sinless humanity. Sinless humanity. And we've seen that the first week was here with God's help. Remember Simeon's sight of Christ. For as much, friend, listen. Listen to what the Word of God says. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things. How plain and simple is it that the Lord sets it out in his Word for us? You were not redeemed with corruptible things. And there are men that say that the blood of Christ perished. What utter blasphemy! It's nonsense, because the blood of Christ is precious. The devil hates the blood because it is the central focus of Scripture. Because without the blood is no remission. Without the shedding of blood is no forgiveness. It is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so the blood of Christ, because he was the God-man, both man and God, two distinct natures but one person. And so the blood of Christ belongs to his sinless humanity. And you'll understand why I keep repeating it. Bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, not only of flesh and blood, but of human soul. Praise God that we have a message to take to those who are outside of Christ. That the Lord Jesus Christ came to do that which we cannot do, fulfill the Father's law. He paid the price because of his perfect life, his precious blood, his pure blood. Because he was without sin, he couldn't sin. He was made sin, yes, but he couldn't sin. And as we saw in that message concerning the Lamb of God personified, he was made sin for us. In the benefit of, on the behalf of. And so bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, not only of flesh and blood, but of human soul. And we must move on. You see, Christ took into union. He took into union with himself our nature. He took into union with himself our nature, not our corruption. He took into union with himself our nature, for he did see no corruption. He did see no corruption. Because he was without sin. He couldn't sin. Able not to sin. Not able to sin. Christ was both within and without. Within and without. So the blood of Christ is pure. He was pure within and without. Without and within. And so the blood of Christ is pure because it is the price of redemption. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And we see this clearly in Leviticus. In Leviticus, I was reading this yesterday. I was reading it along with our brother Trevor. He had called over, and we were talking about the things of God. And in Leviticus chapter 1, Leviticus chapter 1, didn't really plan on saying this today, but it's good to look at it. It's good to look at what the Word of God says. And it says in Leviticus chapter 1, verse 6, this was the Levitical offerings, the sacrifices that were offered, and they were to be inspected. They were to be without blemish. They were to be without spot, which was a pointer forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. He who was the antitype, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the fulfillment. He was the pointing forward of these things. He was without blemish and without spot, as we're considering today. But verse 6, it says, and he shall flee, and that means whip. He shall flee the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. And so this sacrifice was brought out. It was to be pure within and without. It was to be cut in pieces. It was to be dissected. It was to be inspected to make sure it had no blemish and no spot. And if it had a spot, it was to be rejected because it wouldn't be accepted. And so it couldn't have any imperfection outwardly. It couldn't have any disease inwardly. It had to be without spot inwardly and without blemish outwardly. It had to be without spot inwardly and without blemish outwardly. It was to be cut into pieces to inspect it inwardly. And had there been a defect in the sacrifice, well, it would have been rejected, for it wouldn't have been acceptable. And so it points to the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God who was crucified. Was he not whipped in the sense he was stripped of his clothes? He gave his back to the smiters. His beard was plucked from his face. They did their worst on the Son of God. And yet, he was that free will offering. He willingly went to the cross, not to pay for his own sins, because he had none, but to pay for those he came to save. And so it points to the Lamb of God without blemish and without spot. The Lamb of God crucified. You see, friends, the emphasis is always on the blood. The emphasis is always on the blood. The Bible says without shedding of blood is no remission. Without shedding of blood is no forgiveness. And so the scriptures make it clear that God can pardon men, but not without blood. God can pardon men, but not without blood. It shows that men can be redeemed, but not without blood. It shows that men can go to heaven, but not without blood. What stream is that? What stream is that which sweeps away my sins just like a flood, nor lets one guilty blemish stay? 'Tis Jesus' precious blood. And so, as it was recorded at the cross in John 19:34, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Christ gave everything. He gave everything. He gave us all. Such was the price of our redemption. the Lamb of God crucified, that sinners such as you and me may be redeemed. For not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain, but Christ, the heavenly Lamb. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, the blood of Christ, takes all our sins away. A sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. And so we come back to where we started. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. There's one here today, and you're outside of Jesus Christ. Friend, there's a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all, not some, lose all their guilty stains, for whomsoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you depending upon the blood? Oh, the Christian can rejoice. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. May the Lord bless all that has been of himself for his own name's sake. Let us bow quietly.